Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello and welcome to week two of the Better Together series. So glad you're able to take the time, come hang out with us for a bit, get your Jesus on, hear some good Bible-y Bible stuff, and be ready to jump in and hear what you need to hear today for whatever is particularly relevant to you. Take that. If there's parts that you think are just, that's not for me, well, just fast forward a bit. It'll all come together. I trust today's going to be a good one. One thing that we're all trying to do together for sure, as Christians, we want to be just a little more Jesus-like. Every day we're just trying to be, you know, that next step, Jesus, a little more like you, but it's so daunting a task sometimes because Jesus is awesome, and we start lining up the ways that we're like, oh, maybe we feel like we've missed the mark, and like, well, I, you know, when was the last time I was involved in seeing someone healed, or when was the last time I walked across water, and we set these impossibly high benchmarks to say what becoming Christ-like is like. And so in the Better Together series, I wanted to highlight one in particular, or a couple points on some of the inside the Bible stories, the stories between the stories, to help not feel better, but give some real tangible, some real workable goals for becoming a little more like Jesus. What did Jesus value? Valuing what Jesus valued. John 3:16, classic verse, God so loved the world. We know that Jesus values people. And so question one in kind of, you know, this Christ-like journey is, what do you value? And I was, you know, trying to think about, like, what things are you known by or what things do you love? I'm always known by three things. Anyone who knows me says three things. Small waist, pretty face, big bank. The other three things that I'm known for are counting and loving people. It's having a few things that you're great at is one of those benchmarks where you can at least shoot to be Christ-like. Is loving people still on the radar? It's been a challenging 18 months. And there's folks that are like, I got nothing left. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. Help me, Air Supply. 1980s. I know you were right. Believing for so long, I'm so out of love. You got nothing left. You're at this place where you come up to, it's time to refill the gas in your vehicle, and it says there's a problem at the register. You need to go in and see the cashier. So you decide instead to just abandon your car instead of actually talking to another person. You have lost that love and feeling. When you call somebody and they're not there, you're a little bit glad on the inside that you don't have to talk to someone. And when you return the call, you're secretly hoping that they don't pick up. If you're at that place, then you know the love, that initial Jesus value to love people, it just kind of been squished a bit this last 18 months. When you're walking down the street and you see someone coming and they've got their pet, they're walking their dog, and you're so excited to see the dog, and you're just like rubbing the dog's face, and you're like petting the dog. You're completely ignoring the person because you don't want to deal with them. But, oh, we just love the dog. You might have lost that love and feeling. Oh, I got that love and feeling right now. I got the Tom Cruise flowing right through me. Help me, Maverick. You've lost that love and feeling, and it's gone. 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 Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know the lines. It's at this place where you're watching the Avengers, and you're just hoping, Thanos, please snap your fingers, get rid of half these people, because you are out, you were done with the people part. And so part of the encouragement today in living Christ-like and being part of this better together involves getting back to just the heart of God loving people. It's something that gets eaten away a little bit over time. Are you able to get back to a place of loving people instead of being turned off of people? Are you able to get your heart back to that point where you want to take that time, that extra special measure, just to show that little bit of love? You know, Pastor Steve was talking about this last week from John 13:35. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. That measure of love is how we're going to be known. It's one of those great things that we're intended to, you know, let our light shine before men. Loving, being nurturing, caring, that compassion, trying to get that stirred back up inside you is chief goal, our first step together, getting back to that place of you can love Jesus, but coupled in with that is loving what he loves, valuing what he values. I was walking with my friend Linda the other day, and it was like, well, what do you have time for? It's like, well, you have time for the things you value. And so if you value it, you carve out time for it. But this last little year and a bit has been real challenging. And so it's just eaten away. And this reminder for today is loving Jesus also involves loving your neighbor as yourself. It's a package deal. So let's get back to that value. Having your love restored, I think of it like this. Are you a glue stick or are you WD-40? You see, WD-40's job is to make sure nothing sticks together. It's to make sure things come apart. A glue stick's job is to make sure things bind together, things are sticky. And right now, more than ever, God's calling our extroverts. Extroverts, get your junk together and be a glue stick. It's time to get your glue stickiness back together. And so, there's people that are just going to like, yeah, that's not for, I'm not that, I'll get to, whatever. I might not even particularly be talking to you in that way because you won't be able to hear it until you get that initial message to love what Jesus loves. Once you get that into this place in your heart to love what Jesus loves, that sticky, entangling glue stick experience, it becomes second nature for you. Are you a glue stick or are you WD-40? You know, this age of things, let's meet. We should meet. It's time for coffee. You want to meet for coffee? You want to meet? Meet at the restaurant? Meet at the theater? You want to meet? And there's a whole group of people that are like relationship vegans that want nothing to do with meat. They don't want to meet nothing. Come back. Enjoy what the Lord's put before you in relationship. We are better together. Love one another as I have loved you. And it's a real challenging time. And so I wanted to just quickly address just some quick, easy things that we see in the Gospels, in the stories between the stories of Jesus meeting. And all my singles out there, I haven't forgot about you. I was working on, I was thinking, like, it's hard meeting just people for, like, friendship right now. And friendship is such a valuable thing. How extra hard is it for our singles right now to be meeting people? And so as a service to you, I put together a couple of pandemic pickup lines. Okay, here we go. You smell so good. Is that Purell you're wearing? So it might not be great material, but it's at least some sort of icebreaker to get at least down to a 5-foot range of someone. How about this one? I don't need to sneeze, but I can't stop looking at you. Oh, you're welcome. That is some game-changing singles material there. A final one, you can't spell. How about this one? I'll smooth in. Baby, is that too creepy? A little bit creepy. Baby, you can't spell quarantine without URAQT. I got pickup lines. Just message me, Vince@calvary.ca. I will make sure you are set up you are welcome, single friends. For those of you who are trying to just generally meet, we're loving Jesus, we're loving others. Where does the church sit in this is providing some opportunities to help you connect. There's a few things that we're doing. We have upcoming dinners for eight at the beginning of October. There are service groups and small groups to connect with. We're running Alpha on Wednesday nights. If you're looking to just dip your toe back into the water as you're able, everything's okay. Yeah, would love to have you, and we want to present opportunities for you to connect. Of course, the connecting part is up to you, but the best aspect that we can do is help provide. As I was looking through the Gospels, I'm like, what did Jesus do to connect with people? What are the stories in between the stories? What does he value? So how does he show me? What are the techniques that Jesus uses? And again and again, I see this thing Jesus doing. It's called the meet and eat. He meets and he eats. Jesus is eating all the time. And so if you're listening to these words today and you want to jot these down in your notes, meet and eat. Can you do that for Jesus? Can you meet and eat for the kingdom? I'm not talking about, the big, deep miracles, walking across water and parting seas like Moses. I'm just talking about the life of Christ and being more Christ-like. One of those, what did Jesus do with his time? Oh, man, there's some great stories going through the scripture, and I want to take you through a few. Maybe you're, like, at a point where you don't want to do a bunch of eating. I know early on I started this 14-day diet called 2 weeks to flatten my curves, and I've been doing it for 18 months, and it doesn't work. So let's try something different. Let's just go meet and eat. 14 days to flatten your curves. If that's not working for you, let's just try something different. The Jesus meet and eat method. So fantastic as I go through the scripture. We're encouraged, 1 Peter 4, 9 and 10. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Let's talk about some Jesus meet and eat. You see, friendships take time. And so sometimes when we're going through the scriptures, we're not reading the between the lines stories. We're just seeing, Jesus did this amazing thing, and then he walked down a road, and then 2 days later, he did this amazing thing, and then it went over to this amazing thing. What about the in-between times? And they're just often just little subtle words. We read Matthew 26. Jesus visiting Simon the leper. I had to search it up, and leprosy is spread through, it says, coughing or contact with fluid from someone's, with an infected person's, the fluid from their nose. I don't know if you could even imagine possibly hanging out with someone with coughing or an infection passed along by droplets. It's crazy, but Jesus was able to get through this. And so he's with Simon the leper, and he's hanging out, and he's eating. Jesus hanging out with Simon the leper. What did they do in the meantime? You see, because you hear stories of Jesus healing, but if Jesus is there, sometimes he's at the spot for multiple days, and you'll hear this one story. But what about the stories in between the stories of what Jesus was doing? I always envision Jesus enjoying himself and laughing and having a good time, and being a kind of person in his humanity, 100% God, 100% man. And I'm like, what would it be like to hang out with Jesus? Is he just like serious all the time doing Jesus stuff and healing people? But the other moments, what is he doing? We see Jesus at a wedding. Well, we know the miracle of him turning water to wine. And I've been to Cana in Galilee, and I've seen the area where apparently all this happened, and it was fun and people enjoying themselves. And at this wedding, we have this one account of Jesus. But what are the other parts? Is Jesus telling stories and carrying on and laughing? Because that's how I view Jesus. And so this is the being Christ-like sometimes involves dipping into these Bible in between spaces, these stories between the stories, that we're better together instead of just walking this life alone. I see Jesus of laughter, full of love, you know, the tussling a kid's hair and telling a story and enjoying himself as well as the miraculous, as well as all these amazing things we see in the scripture. So, you know, and working through, of course, famous meals like the Last Supper. Well, we get this portion where he's like, this is my body, it's broken for you, and this is a symbol of my shed blood for your forgiveness of sins. But what about the other hours of hanging out? What goes on in that time? All we know is that they were breaking bread and having some time with one another. That's a way that you can emulate Christ, getting together with folks. We're better together. I encourage you, meet and eat. You know the story of Jesus, the woman at the well? Well, there's a story, you know, him, woman at the well, and him discussing things with her. But then there's these little verses tagged on a little later in John 4, where he goes and stays in the area, in the little village where the woman is from. He stays there for two more days. I guarantee you he wasn't just sitting there, at some sort of a fountain waiting for things to happen. He's meeting people. He's greeting. He's eating. He's hanging out eating whatever is available. I don't know if it's like, let's have lamb. Ain't nothing like mutton. Is Jesus telling? I don't know what Jesus is doing, but the version of Jesus that I know and love and understand, I could very much see him, the smiling Jesus. Everybody loved him. Moving through, he's with Levi the tax collector. Luke 5, 27 to 32 says this. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. So Jesus is meeting people. People are putting together parties. Jesus is going to parties and eating with them, hanging out. And so, of course, this freaks out the religious people because religious people get freaked out. This is one of the things they do. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect explained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." You have to spend time with the sick too. It's not just about having a laugh because everybody that you know believes the same things. Jesus was out there and he admonished them. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so you got the religious people freaking out that Jesus is eating with these people. And then I love it, just a few lines later, is Jesus is eating with the Pharisees. So Jesus is meeting and eating everywhere. Turn the corner and there's Jesus. And so they end up talking and there's a person who needs healing and Jesus is in doing, divine God stuff and there's healing and this amazing works are happening. So it's not just in and goofing around and, Jesus telling, leprosy jokes. I don't even know if Jesus is probably more sensitive than I am. Let's just assume that. And so you got Jesus hanging out with the Pharisees. You got Jesus hanging out with the tax collectors and his buddies. This is my Jesus. You want to become Christ-like? I got a simple one for you. Meet and eat. It doesn't have to be deep and crazy, but can you meet? Can you eat? That's a great way to be Christ-like. Zacchaeus up in the tree, and then Jesus eating with him. We see, remember Jesus eating with Mary and Martha. So interesting when you understand how the Bible is all nuanced and works together. You see, when Jesus was at Simon the leper's house, that woman came in. It's a woman of ill repute. Whatever was going on in her life, we read in the other gospels that it was Mary. And then throughout all of that, friendships developed. And then Lazarus is the brother to Mary and Martha. Lazarus dies, and this is the recording in the scripture, the word Jesus wept. And so if you ever heard that one, that's this story. Jesus was sad that his friend, we don't see the part where he meets Lazarus and becomes friend, but we do know he meets Mary, and so Mary and whoever else was at this party, and she's crying, and all of this is going on. Well, behind the scenes later, because of this, the stories between the stories, we know that friendships blossomed, friendships occurred. Martha's busy, working, and Mary, there and listening to Jesus, and Lazarus come out, and we see miracles and friendship and community and camaraderie. Well, so the early Pope, one of the early Popes had said that it was understood to him that Mary was a prostitute, but we don't see that recorded in Scripture at all, just that she was a sinful woman. We don't know what was going on there. But Jesus jumped into this situation, and through meet and eat, he just became friends. He wasn't like, come down on you hard, what's your problem, Jesus? This is Jesus crying because his friend died. This is the relationship with the eat and the meet. You want to become Christ-like. Set an extra plate or two at the table and invite somebody over. You got to eat. Like, how many meals do you eat a day? Six? Some of you are like quitters and you only eat like two or three. But you can eat some of those with other people. Bring them in. It's the eat. It's the meet. It's the hanging out. Oh, I got another friendship story in the scripture. This stuff isn't always talked about in this regard, but you have to put yourself in the stories between the stories. When I opened up one of the first scriptures that I talked about was, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Do you know who he was talking to when that happened? He was talking with one of the religious leaders, Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus came to him at night. Sometimes you'll hear it, a Nick at night. So Nicodemus comes at night. Why does he come at night? He's concerned that being seen with Jesus is going to get him in trouble, but he knows that Jesus has got something going on. And so he wants to be with Jesus. So he secretly sneaks around to be with him and hang out, learn some things. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God and being born again. And so that kind of friendship, you're like, okay, was it a one-off? Well, it wasn't a one-off, because we see it recorded later in Luke 7 that when the religious leaders were judging Jesus, Nicodemus comes into the mess of things. And Nicodemus is the one that says, hey, our laws don't allow for this. He needs to be judged accordingly. Nicodemus was one who befriended him through this. Was it just a one-off? Did something miraculous happen with Nicodemus? Well, you tell me. When Jesus building friendship. So you have a religious leader who the religious leaders were often at odds with Jesus, sneaking around to spend some time with him, and then later defending him. And then finally, we see Nicodemus again a third time at the burial. It says this in John 19:38-42. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. So Jesus had been crucified and all these things had gone on and the body was taken down, and Joseph of Arimathea said, can I have his body? Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. So he's having conversations in dark corners. Jesus was there as a friend. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, as recorded in the scripture, John 19, was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds worth. We talk about Jesus' grave clothes and being wrapped in spices. Do you know where those spices came from? From the same Nicodemus who was talking to, recorded in John, where he comes at night, and for God so loved the world, man must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. The same Nicodemus, you see the friendship? You see the weaving of a story through the scriptures? That's why it's fun reading in through your Bible. And you can start seeing all these things coming together and coming alive and being vibrant. Jesus is modeling. See, it's that story between the stories that you see some of that the power of relationship. Jesus didn't come down on Nicodemus because Nicodemus was sincerely seeking him. And then Nicodemus is the one who brought the spices to cover Jesus' body. Now, these interweaving of stories, you go, well, what am I supposed to do for my own life? It's crazy. The times are crazy. Things were crazy. Things were crazy before. Things will continue to be crazy. You will choose to value what Jesus valued. And if you do, here's a method for you. Meet and greet. You either will or you won't. It's not my lot in life to, I can't make anyone do anything, but I can pave out a clear lit path to show you how Jesus worked it with meet and eat. You see, this is how life works. You have friends at varying stages, but then some friends move. Some friends pass on. Life sometimes just changes and your interests change, and you must constantly be on the pursuit for relationship and friendship. I want to just take a quick second to, sometimes it's easier to see things, how this can look in your life, and I'll just give you a little glimpse of mine as we roll through some of these slides. This is me and my buddy Dave. We are in Sleepy Hollow, like Ichabod Crane Sleepy Hollow in upstate New York, just hanging out and visiting. This is me and my buddy Brad. We're at Niagara Falls together. Seems a little romantic for two dudes, but we were just there for a conference, so everything's cool. I was out for a night of games and playing Pathfinder with some friends. You'll see Justin and James and Mark and Seamus. This is me and Pastor McDonald, and I've gone out to hundreds of lunches with him, and just the friendship that gets developed over time. This is me and my buddy Bill going at a Canucks game. This is me with Zach and Noah, and we're at boat races in mid-Washington having a good time. This is my friends Justin and Megan, and Elian. You know, their baby boy at the time. And she looked beautiful for just having a baby. The effort, you got to keep working out and getting it out there and taking the time and build the friendships. This is me at a wedding for Hunter and Bethany. Fantastic couple. This is me and my buddy Bruce. Bruce shows up on occasion with luxury cars because he's owns a car dealership. And he showed up in a McLaren. I told him that if he ever got a McLaren, I wanted to drive in it with him. So this is us in the McLaren. This is me and my friend Julian, and we're out doing this actual for real treasure hunt. And we spent hours, days together searching all of Vancouver for lost treasure. Fantastic. This is me and my buddy Rob, who joined a synchronized swim team for a day just to learn a routine. This is me and my friends Mike and Lori, and they recently moved to Nova Scotia, and that's just how that goes. This is me and old friend Bert. Old friend because we've been friends since the late 80s, but also he's 102 now. Me and my friend Bob, we go golfing. We make sure we get out at least once a year. It's me with some of the young guys. We got the Ians and Mike and Trice and Mark is there. We frisbee golf. We've head out on some Saturday mornings and go frisbee golfing with each other. This is me at a baptism with my friends, the Duns and Jasper's there, and the Joseph family and the Pasuks are there. This is me with a buddy, Adrian, just out grabbing a coffee. Me and my buddy Tony decided it'd be fun to walk across the Portman Bridge, and so it's a little shot of that. It was a wedding with our friends, the Larissa and Cornell. Sorry, buddy. So many names to rip through. This is me with our friends Kurt and Heather, and it was a special birthday. We're out for teppanyaki. This is me and my buddy Sonny. local. We met through Alpha. It was fantastic. So and we'll go out for walks. We're up at SFU here. This is my friends Simon and Steve, and we're out camping on the river. And it's me and my buddy Henry, and we're out for hike geocaching. And then it's me. This next one, Pastor Ryan and Mark and Tony, and we went wake surfing and eating barbecue ribs and hanging out for a special birthday. This is people from my home group who moved up to Vernon, Mike and Daniela. This is me and Pastor Steve eating more ribs up in Langley. This is my buddies Kurt and Mark, and after we went skydiving. And the time, the longevity, and this final couple here, me and my friend Mike and Kim Kent, and we got to go to races and be in a pit crew for stock cars. Fantastic. And then this is me and my buddy Amir at a baptism in my hot tub. The effort, the time that it takes to build relationships, it's draining. It's draining. It's worth it. Because what else is there? Netflix and chill and just wait for Jesus to come back. We are better together. I heard so many funny things through the pandemic time. Oh, I wish we just bought some property in the middle of nowhere. Get away from it all. Like, yeah, there's times that sounds good. You know, not going to lie, there's times that does sound good, but then I got to remember, I got to value what Jesus valued. Jesus value my being alone on a mountain, growing my own corn and just waiting for him to come back? Is that the life that I don't think that's the life Jesus meant for us to have. I feel we're better together. And we see through the scriptures that I was laying out in the Bible stories, Jesus is working and meeting and eating and all the time. And so I feel if I want to be Christ-like, I need to do some of the same. You see, friends move away. Friends pass on. Friends change. And unless you purpose yourself to keep relationship alive as a principle in your life, you will find yourself very alone. And that's not a place you want to be. Does it take effort? Yeah, tons of it. There's always a cost with anything good. But you got to keep working it. You got to keep working it. You got to keep the meeting. You got to keep the eating. You got to keep valuing what Jesus valued. I hope I laid that out in a way that gives you a next step goal. We're a next step church, taking next step goals. Either you are in your own personal next step, or you're helping someone else in their next step. Is this next step for you? Is it time to meet and eat? Is it time to start loving again? Is it time to help someone else along that path? In which case, you're going to need to spend some time. You're probably going to need to meet and eat and value that. So either way, God's got something for you, and here's your chance to respond. While you're at home taking this in, would you shut your eyes and just know in your heart, if you need some Jesus healing because it's just been so difficult, you haven't got past that, then Jesus, bring health, wholeness to people's lives. If you're ready, though, to head into that next place, it's time to value again, get the love going again, get that Jesus-centered value going again. It's time to meet and eat. Will you meet and eat with me? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity we've had together. We know that you have good lined up for us because your word is true. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Lord, for what the canker worm has eaten away in our life, restore it. Restore it fivefold, tenfold, restore it 100-fold. Restore what has been eaten so that we can get back to living full lives for you. Lord, we dedicate ourselves to be more like you. and we choose to do it in this simple way. Lord, help us meet need. Help us value what you valued. Open our eyes up to other people, and that we are all better together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks a bunch.